everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode, and today I'm so thrilled and excited to have Blake Arakaki on the podcast. Now, Blake does leadership development training for State Fund, which is California's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Blake has been there for 18 years. Here at Catalyst, Blake has been involved in parenting classes with Ross and Ida. He's part of the visual help team, and he helps lead a small group with Debbie Gibo. Blake is married to Sammy, and this year they'll be celebrating 5 years together. So congratulations, Blake.
Thank you.
He has a daughter, Kimiko, who's in college, and stepson, Sean, who is in high school, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And with that, Blake, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to capture your testimonies, which I know you've shared on Sunday mornings, but I know that many who are new to Catalyst and other listeners will be blessed by your stories. So I thought we could start by having you share how you first heard about and started coming to Catalyst.
Yeah, so gosh, you know, it's hard to remember the years as you get older, but I'm pretty sure it was around 12 or 13 years ago, 12 years ago, I think. Yeah. So one of my really good friends is Darren Tamura. And we work at State Fund together. And, you know, I went through a period where I had gone through a divorce. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't really doing anything. But I knew I needed something. And I knew that I needed something else in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to Darren about churches, started talking about, you know, what I'm looking for, where I want to go. And I asked him where he goes, and he told me about Catalyst. So some backstory is, Darren and I used to go to CBC together. Mm. I went with him for maybe about a year and a half before my first marriage.
Yeah, and just for the listeners that don't know, the acronym CBC is Cerritos Baptist Church.
Right. Yeah. And so I went there for a couple years before I got married, my first marriage. And then once I got married, moved away, you know, in Corona area. And at that point, you know, I wasn't going to drive that far. It was pretty far.
Sure.
And I never really found a home church. I hadn't really been going since. You know, then went through the divorce, like I said, was working with Darren. And, yeah, I felt like I needed something. Mm-hmm. And so that's he told me about Catalyst. It was really interesting to me. I liked the way what he's told me about it. I knew Pastor Barry from CBC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually played golf with him a couple times in that CBC golf tournament at Ironwood, which was pretty cool. And, yeah, so I decided to go.
Yeah. So – you started coming to Catalyst Christian Community, and then there came a time during one of the worship services that you actually thought about taking a break from Sunday mornings, and I wondered if you can talk about how that came about.
Yeah, so I've always been a quick learner, I feel like. Maybe others won't agree with that, but I've always felt like I caught on to things pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I felt like once I decided I was going to go to church and start learning, I felt like that was going to happen with me too. So when I started going to Catalyst, I had some expectations about how this would all go for me. Mm. And after about a year and a half or so, it just wasn't happening. I wasn't understanding it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting it. You know, I would be sitting in service. I always sat in the back right, so I like to watch people, and that way people can't watch me. And so, yeah, I'd see people going to pray for people. Mm-hmm. I'd see people raising their hands. I'd see Bob jumping around. I remember one service, Bob had this feather. I don't remember what it was. He had a feather. He was dancing and jumping around. And it was cool to see, but I just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was really frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Tremendously frustrating.
Yeah.
And so I remember sitting in worship one time. It was during the second set. And I was just frustrated. I was thinking, this is not happening. I don't understand why, but it's not happening for me. Mm-hmm. And that moment, I remember thinking, I think I need to take a break.
Mm-hmm. So at that time, you actually made a decision in your head that you were going to kind of step away from it.
Oh, yeah. I'm the kind of person, once I make a decision, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't make decisions lightly. So yeah. I'd been thinking about it, and I was pretty convicted, actually. Mm. Just sitting in worship, watching people worshiping, that I was done. And what I was thinking in my head was I was contemplating, okay, who do I need to tell? What is my exit strategy? I knew for sure I needed to tell Darren.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was just thinking, no, I think I can just stop going. Mm-hmm. And that was in my head.
Yeah. Okay. So. And then something amazing happened, and I wonder if you can get into that.
Yeah, so as I'm sitting there in worship, and I'm observing, right? Again, at this point, I'm not really worshiping. I'm just kind of observing. I'm thinking in my head all these things of that I'm just not going anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm still watching. And I remember I'm just watching the stage. And if you guys know Sang, at the time, she was on the worship team. She played bass. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this was a while ago. She was playing bass up there. And I remember watching, and all of a sudden, she put her bass down and walked off the stage and started running up the aisle on the opposite aisle of where I was. And I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of strange. All I could think was, man, she must really have to use the restroom really badly to jump off the worship stage like that. Right? That's all I could think. I just found, wow, that's amazing. And then she disappeared from my peripheral view.
Yeah.
And about maybe like 5 seconds later, I feel a tap on my shoulder. And it was Sang. And I'm looking at her thinking, what's going on? And she goes, hey, can I pray for you? And I was kind of shocked, right? I'm like, yeah, of course. And then Matt happened to be sitting in front of me. Matt is her husband. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they were married at the time, but Matt was sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
And he turned around and started, you know, he joined it. And so right. She prayed for me.
And I think before she prayed, you either asked Matt or you thought, was this planned, right?
Something well, it was like afterwards.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened was she came to pray for me.
Yeah. And do you remember what it was she said?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, it's so funny because even right after it happened, I don't remember anything she said.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember how it made me feel, though, right? And so...
And how did you feel after?
I was... Right when it happened, she actually prayed for me.
Yeah.
She went back to the worship stage and started playing the bass again. And honestly, I was sitting there just kind of dumbfounded.
Yeah.
I was trying to process what just happened, but I really couldn't understand it. Mm-hmm. All I knew was something happened.
Yeah.
I knew that this is something that was pretty big. Because I knew it, like when she was praying for me, I felt like almost like my body heat up, right? Where I was feeling like, what is this? Why am I feeling like this?
Wow.
And I'm not even sure, honestly, I'm not even sure how much I listened to the prayer, but I was so focused on what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And then she went back up. I remember just sitting there for the rest of the worship set, just trying to understand what happened. Worship ended, and then I talked to Matt. So Matt and I were friendly. We would talk here and there. I didn't really talk much to Sang. I mean, it was more of a hi-bye type of thing. And I said, hey, Matt, you know, was that planned? Did you know Sang was going to come pray for me? And he said, no. You know, sometimes she just gets this feeling, and she does it, right? And I'm like, and that made me even more like, what the heck was this?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't planned, and yet she did it. Came down from the worship stage of all things, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, wow, Matt. I told Matt, look, I have to be honest. At the moment that she tapped me on the shoulder, my mind was on that I'm done. I'm going to stop going to church. And so... And then I waited for Sang to come over. And then I talked to her. I said, hey, Sang, can you tell me what prompted you to pray for me? And she says, you know, I don't know. It's just that I remember her telling me this, but your name kept popping into my head.
Wow.
And I remember she kind of, the way I remember it, she actually kind of resisted it at first. Like, wait a second, you want me to pray for him now? But I'm playing bass and I'm on the worship team. But I guess it happened enough where she said, okay, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's when she put the bass down. And then I told her at that moment, I said, you know, when you came to pray for me, my thought was this was going to be my last time coming to service for a while, if coming back at all.
Wow.
And I told her, yeah, I think, I don't remember exactly how it all played out, but I just remember thinking, I think I need to keep going, right? I think it was pretty clear to me that that was a sign for me. That I'm not done here. I didn't know that. I just knew I needed to keep going.
So looking back at it, because you said this was life changing for you.
Oh yeah.
And as you process now and look back, how do you how do you explain now, looking back, what you were feeling and what was going on?
Right. So, you know, it's been very interesting because that happened like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time when it happened, I thought it was huge because it kept me going to church. Actually, I think the next week I joined one of the small groups, Open
That's
Windows.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I started meeting more people that way. And at that moment, I'm thinking, wow, that's really cool. It was amazing, the fruit that came from this, that, you know, she saved me really from not going. And I thought that was it. That was a great story at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you fast forward a few years later. Now Kimiko's really involved in the youth, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And she's really growing in her faith at that point.
Yeah.
Fast forward more years, I start dating Sammy, and you know, I meet Sean. Not they never go to church. They, you know, they had nothing. They probably no idea what going to church was like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you keep fast forwarding.
Yeah.
And the fruit just keeps growing and growing. You know, yeah. Now Kimiko is going to be doing missionary work for her life.
Yeah.
She's making an impact on. I believe what's happening is that she's making an impact on others.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I believe Sean is going to have that opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I really look at it, when I sit down and just think about it like that, it's mind-blowing to me how one simple act, one simple prayer has such a huge impact going forward.
Yes.
Not just on me.
Yes.
But think of all the people connected, not to me personally, but like through Kimiko, through Sean.
Yes. Yes.
That may be able to meet Jesus because of this.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. Right? Yeah.
And I could keep telling the story every few years, and there's just going to be more and more and more fruit.
Yes.
Right? And
yeah. I mean, you know, to me, my observation is it just magnifies, like you said, the obedience of saying, because she's up there playing the bass.
Yeah.
And it would be so easy, it would have been so easy for her to say when your name kept coming up, no, maybe I'll tell them later, or I'm playing, I'm busy serving the Lord right now, and to put her bass down and step out. Now you just show the magnification of a simple act of obedience and the courage to step out and come pray for you. The effect that it's having now on not only you but your kids and your future generations.
Right. And you know, when I look back on it, I know it seems like a simple act, but to me, I think the fact that she came down from the worship stage was very important to this.
Yeah.
That if she was, cuz remember Matt was sitting in front of me. If she wasn't playing on the worship team and she was sitting in front of me and turned around to pray for me, I don't think it would have had the same impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I'm able to watch her come down from the stage, come around and pray for me, that was very powerful because I know I would not have put the bass down. Mm-hmm. I can't comprehend what it would have taken for someone to put some like their instrument down,
right?
Come off the worship stage while they're doing worship,
right?
To pray for me,
right? Right.
That was huge.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
I think God knew exactly what I needed.
Yes.
Right? He knew I needed a big sign like that.
Yeah. Because, see, the other observation, Blake, is that you were kind of in your head a little bit, by saying, you know, when this thing happened, you're trying to figure it out, right? You said you're processing what happened. But it's almost like what happened, you can't really explain it away or think it away. It's just, you know, like you said, you had this feeling inside, right? That was something that you hadn't felt before, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And even that night, I was still processing it. I remember, I believe I called Darren that night and said, hey, dude, can I talk to you?
Yeah.
And I told him about it. And the one thing that I told him was like, you know, when it was happening, I felt like I got really hot. My body was warm.
Yeah.
And through discussing it with him, I think I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I believe it was eventually decided that, or not decided, we kind of came on that the Holy Spirit probably came down upon me,
mm-hmm,
and that's where that warmth was coming from.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty crazy. I needed help processing, so it was really cool that I could talk to Darren about that.
Yeah.
but it was really convicting.
Yeah.
That, you know, I need to keep going.
Yeah.
And here I am still.
Yeah,
doing this podcast now.
that's right. Uh-huh. And like you said, so much fruit has come out of that simple act of obedience. And I wanted to quote 1 Samuel 15:22 in the New Living Translation, because in that one it connects to your story. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" And he says, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. And of course, he meant that as an admonishment to King Saul at the time. But again, that act of obedience is really important. And so, if you feel, I just want to ask you, for you, as you look back, what are maybe the lesson that was prevalent to you through this experience or your insights?
Right. You know, I actually think about this quite a bit. Yeah. And one of the biggest things for me was, you know, just saying, being obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't have been easy. It couldn't have been easy.
Yeah.
And she had no idea. There's no way any of us had any idea what kind of fruit it would lead to. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like she just, I mean, and we probably should talk to her about it, but from my discussions with her, you know, she just was obedient. She felt like the Lord was prompting her to do this with no idea what was going to come about it. She came to pray for me, and then all this fruit comes from it, from one simple prayer. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And that's just incredible. So, yeah. I mean, to me, you know, when you feel like God's prompting you to do something, even if it seems really small, I highly encourage you to do it.
Yeah.
Even as I fight myself trying to do things to be obedient.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, but I just think you just never know what the fruit will be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is something that's going to be a blessing for me, for my family, and hopefully for Sang. Or ever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because it's one of those things where it's never going to stop giving fruit.
Yes. And I think it's going to be a blessing to anyone that hears your testimony, because if we could just imagine the magnification of an act of obedience like that and the possibility of touching so many lives. I mean, just thinking again of all the things that you're involved in and just the potential for that, that's so huge, and it's got to encourage others as well. I think you had also mentioned that because you even shared this testimony Sunday morning. So I think that's amazing, because when you first came to Catalyst, you said that you didn't want people to. You wanted to kind of stay hidden and in the back. And I think almost every time we have an open mic time, you've come up and you've shared. And so you've even gotten to that point where you are openly sharing your testimonies and what God's doing in your life.
Yeah, it's gotten to a point where it's almost a tradition now, Thanksgiving tradition.
It is.
And so I remember very specifically the first time it happened, too. I was helping with the sound team in the back. And, you know, people were sharing, and my heart was pounding. So I kind of knew right, that I was supposed to share. And then I remember Barry went up there and said, you know, we're about to end this time, but I really feel like there's someone or one or two people out there that are supposed to share their story and just haven't yet. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I encourage you to do that. And when he said that, I felt like he was talking directly to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing in the back. I'm like, oh, man. And then I finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. So what I had to do was, Howard Hahn was sitting next to me because we were doing the sound together. And I said, I'm going up there. I actually had to verbalize it because I had to commit myself, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. By saying it out loud, I 100% committed myself to it. And so I started walking up the aisle. And remember, I was part of the sound team at this time, so I was helping set up the mics and stuff, right? And I remember as I'm walking up there, I think Ross thought, oh, I'm just going to take the mics away. So he started walking up there. He was about to say something.
Yeah.
And then he saw me stand in front of the mic. He's like, oh, I guess he's going to speak. So he went and sat back down, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had a chance to share the testimony.
Yeah. And I just think it's so amazing that so when Sang came up and prayed for you that first time, she could have said, you know, I'm on worship team now, I don't want to do it. But that had such an impact on you that when you were in that situation, because you could have said, I'm doing sound right now, right? Maybe, right. You know, maybe it's not. And then even when Ross thought you were going to maybe adjust something, you could have taken, that was your out, right? To go back and say, okay, maybe it's not the right time, but you know, you went for it.
Yeah.
And I think something else that you had said was that this whole thing has, this whole experience has also opened you up into trusting in the Lord more. Because I think you had told me that, you know, now when the Lord, when you get in those situations that are maybe difficult situations, like you had mentioned Kimiko pursuing missions, and how maybe as a father you might have been hesitant about that, but you've learned to trust the Lord too. I wonder if you can share about that.
Yeah, it's taken a number of years for me to get to that point.
That's okay,
but
though.
Yeah. I think what's, you know, based on everything that's happened and all the fruit I've seen that's come about from it, that when Kimiko came to me and said, hey, I think I want to do mission work for my life, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, in my flesh as a father, as a human father, I was thinking, oh, okay. I didn't say that to her, but I'm thinking in my head, oh, how's she going to make a living? How's she going to survive? Where's she going to live? And so I had a lot of worry at first. And this is actually pretty incredible. So we kind of talked about it. And one of the first places she went to was Mexico. Mm. And, you know, I said, yeah, I'm going to support you. But I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit worried. You know, you hear a lot of stories about, you know, going to foreign countries and, you know, people getting hurt. And then she said something to me that just blew me away. She said, you know, even if I were to die, what better way to die than in service of the Lord? Mm. And I'm like, yeah, what can I say to that, right?
Wow.
And that was pretty convicting for me to see that conviction. It reminded me that, you know what? You need to say yes. She's being obedient to the Lord. Mm-hmm. She's being obedient to what God is calling her to do. And so I need to support that. Yeah. And I need to know, say, you know what? Just like there was fruit from when Sang prayed for me, she was obedient. Just think about all the fruit that could result because of this, right? And a lot of the fruit we're never going to see.
Yeah.
Right? Even the fruit right now from the prayer, from Sang praying for me, and from Kimiko, Sean, whoever, going out and impacting people, I hear those stories, but I don't see what's happening on their end. You don't know who that they talk to might go into missionary work.
Yes.
Who might they help receive salvation, right? To seek salvation from the Lord, right?
Yes.
And so when I look at it like that, I'm like, yeah, it actually makes me feel good. And I'm so proud that she wants to go into that work because I know she's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always take it back to, man, that prayer that Sang did, her obedience, and that little obedience she had, look what it's led to.
Yeah.
It's just... In fact, whenever things like this happen, these type of moments, or Kimiko seeing mission work, or Sean coming back from his mission trip in Mexico and how he came back changed and, you know, saved, I always go back to that prayer that Sang did and think, thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
And thank you, Sang, for just being obedient.
Yes.
Because my life is so much more blessed because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, I always say there's no way I could repay that. Not that she would ever seek. She probably finds a lot of joy in it as well. But I'm so grateful. I will be forever grateful that she put that base down and came to pray for me at a time that I'm not sure many people would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that happen. And again, in the 12, 13 years I've been going to Catalyst, right?
Yeah.
That's how amazing that event is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And Sang, if you're listening, you know, I know you know how I feel about this, but yeah, I'm really glad I'm able to talk about it because it was really amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Sang, know that you have not only touched Blake, but a generation as well, and we don't even know the future impact of just one act of obedience. Yeah, yeah. Amen. So, Blake, as we start to wind down our time together, I want to first of all thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing this incredible testimony of God's watchful hand over you.
Thank you.
And as we end our time together, I want to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your heartfelt testimony and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you know exactly when we need and when we need to hear and see it. We give you thanks for how you revealed yourself to Blake that one Sunday morning when he was searching and seeking after you. And Lord, we thank you for using Sang as your mouthpiece to communicate the message to Blake, for her obedience to just go and follow you and courageously not being concerned about anything else. God, give us that kind of faith and courage and resolve. Help us to put obedience to your voice over sacrifice, as you've said in 1 Samuel 15:22. And thank you for the impact of this testimony on Blake's life through not only the different ministries that Blake is now involved in, but how he's able to influence others for your kingdom, and also for how you've strengthened Blake's faith and trust in you. And thank you, Jesus, for the impact that this has had on Blake's family, his wife, his daughter, and son-in-law, and yes, even future generations within the Arakaki family. Lord God, you have shown us the possible magnitude and multiplication of just one act of obedience to hear your voice and take a step of faith to share that word with someone. And God, show us that same possibility, Father God. Give us a vision for that, that we might encourage and speak into others when you call us to do so. And finally, Jesus, give us grace, especially for ourselves, that we don't have to be perfect or eloquent in speech. We just have to have the heart after you and for others. And now, Jesus, may you use this testimony in Blake's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you, Blake. Yeah. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.